the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The repetition of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Indutyampi Tatyampi Sala. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Indutyampi Tatyampi Sala. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sala. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dukhyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Furniture a bit so if folks could move down so you're not sitting behind the facilities. Reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to our monthly donors. What should we look at this morning?
I'm just feeling really happy and grateful, which I heard, which I heard from Sherry last night helps you know that you're probably centered.
Yes.
And it was funny because, so on Thursday I was talking about not being so centered and really feeling identified with self-hate. And you know, there's really a duality there. And feeling kind of trapped. And, a couple of things. One, that happy and grateful last night, it just came up again when Sherry was saying that. Mm-hmm. I know if I'm not happy and grateful, I'm not centered. Mm-hmm. And I checked in with my actual experience, and I was like, I'm pretty happy. And then there's like a pause, and I think I'm pretty grateful, too. Wait a second. That may mean that I'm closer to center than what I'm being told.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's so good. So just on Thursday, you know, being identified, as you mentioned, and that, you know, there was just feeling real trapped and just caught in that duality. And then, you know, having the guide mention that it's kind of a temperature test to know that when we're not feeling happy and grateful, we're not at center.
Yeah.
And then just having that happiness and that gratitude arise and looking to see what's really so.
Yeah, exactly.
And seeing that, maybe it's different than what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I feel like I've been through that a lot, but still, just what is my actual experience versus what I'm being told? Because it's just such a habit to go, well, how am I doing?
Uh-huh.
You know, you're not feeling very grateful, and you've been walking around, and it's like, yeah, well, I kind of, there's that and that, that's kind of true,
uh-huh.
as opposed to just stopping and dropping into the body,
mm-hmm.
which has been really helpful. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot, we talk a lot about getting out of that conversation, and sometimes it's helpful to think about it instead of getting into the body.
Uh-huh.
And getting out of the conversation sets up a little battle sometimes.
As you were saying that, it's possible that getting out of the conversation is more conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other doorway that I saw out of that kind of self-hate stuff that's been going on was just being willing to do a little bit of recording and listening.
Uh-huh.
Like keeping up with my assignments, but we also have a practice intensive going on. And just in the morning, like, I commit to recording about the practice intensive. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed happened with that was I could still be, quote, in self-hate or not liking where I'm living or all that kind of stuff. But to record and listen, the awareness automatically expands.
Uh-huh.
There's sort of, I'm not sure if there's a way to not do that. Like, so the awareness would expand just enough to see that nobody had to stop being in self-hate. Uh-huh. But I could see a little bit more identification with that which was expanding,
uh-huh,
than being identified only with the suffering process.
So, if I'm tracking you here, first of all, what I'm hearing in that, there's a keeping a commitment,
mm-hmm,
you know, just really staying with that recording and listening commitment, and in this particular case, it's staying with the practice intensive. And and in that recording and listening, having that willingness to record and listen, just noticing the expansion of awareness that can include,
yeah,
that resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think often it's like, well, that suffering shouldn't be there.
Uh-huh.
Which means Scott shouldn't be there. Like,
uh-huh,
there's a rejection.
Like, he's having the really wrong experience.
He's having the wrong experience. Yeah. And so recording and listening, and then the other thing that I have written down that I read in my recorder every morning that supports Scott is talking out in group.
Uh-huh.
So talking about what was going on, uh-huh, Thursday, there was an acceptance.
Uh-huh.
And again, I think just,
uh-huh,
a little bit of that expanded awareness.
Yeah.
To see I am that which contains that,
yeah,
not just that suffering process. Uh-huh. And the suffering process doesn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, that just seems like another really essential point. To just keeping that commitment to speak up in group,
mm-hmm,
no matter what's going on. And it seems that, you know, maybe this is my projection, but when, you know, things are going hard, it may be a little bit more difficult,
yeah,
to speak up in group and,
yeah,
say what's so. But, you know, in doing that, it just opened up the doors, shall we say, to acceptance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And in that place of just a little bit of acceptance,
mm-hmm,
it just gets clear that, like, okay, like, so what? Like,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, the mentor's like, you can do that. You can do those little suffering behaviors,
mm-hmm,
as long as you want,
mm-hmm,
to.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then if that happens, if there's that level of acceptance, then it's sort of like, well, then why do them? You know, that's what comes up. It's like, well, I'm not getting anything out.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not going to create suffering because the suffering gets created and it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
If it's okay to do the suffering behaviors, then it gets really clear, well, why would I want to do those?
Really? If it's okay to do the suffering behaviors, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, just seeing that,
yeah,
as you said, I mean, there's those two choices of where you want to put your attention, and on the suffering behaviors, or looking to see what's really so.
Yeah.
And seeing, wow,
yeah,
there's gratitude, and there's, you know, just appreciation. There's all,
yeah,
kinds of, yeah.
Yeah, and so talking about, we're on retreat, and one of our assignments is around abundance today, and I'm just feeling that. So it's like, you can talk in group, you know,
mm-hmm,
expand the awareness. You can get on the recorder, you know,
mm-hmm,
expand the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And then just being able to practice in the privileged environment,
mm-hmm,
where no one's going to mess with me. Like,
mm-hmm,
if I'm going to be allowed to do the suffering as long as I need to do the suffering.
Wow.
And I'm also not able to feed it in a way, like I was just imagining if I was in the privileged environment, I would call a friend,
mm-hmm,
and the friend would start to engage probably with me all around the content.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do you think, where would you like to live?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that would just start,
yeah,
to feed that, you know,
absolutely,
just a caring person trying to help it, like, to be in a place where no one, I'm not going to talk to anybody really in that way, no one's going to interrupt me, it just can't hold up.
It can't hold up.
It really reveals those things, like I just said. Well, if it's okay to do those self-hating behaviors, then why would,
yeah,
I do them?
Exactly.
But if I'm allowed to act them out and somebody reacts to,
uh-huh,
me and now we're in the,
uh-huh,
thing,
uh-huh,
it all feels very real.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, now I've got to do more things,
yeah,
and there's really this problem in the,
yeah,
world.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it just becomes more and more real because you get more and more people engaged in your identification.
I think I think I can be skilled in that.
Yeah. As we all can.
Yeah.
And to just really appreciate the abundance of, oh my gosh, all the practice opportunities. And what might you just say, the abundance of unconditional love living and practicing in the privileged environment.
And then, you know, that unconditional love, you know, nothing's wrong, it's all okay, it's all apparently a part of the process of waking up. You know, just these places of stillness, we have a lot of tall grass here that's now brown, because we haven't had water in a long time, and a lot of the tall grass has these little, or some of it has these little kind of fuzz balls on the top, and just watching them, like, you could say that they're dead, you know, they're not green anymore, there's no water running through them, but they're alive, you know, like the wind's moving, and they're just kind of, they're like dancing around, or they're being danced by the wind, and just to be available to that kind of thing, you know, is just like, wow, if those guys are, they're not even getting water anymore, and they're doing, they're offering that, you know, I want to offer something, you know, I want to be out of that conversation and in my body and in the heart and living in abundance.
This sounds like just really noticing all that life just offers in abundance and acceptance, and just that's what the heart chooses.
Yeah.
You know, and as you mentioned earlier, and the truth is that you might want to check and see that that's really happening a lot more often than the story says. That there is that alignment with the heart. There is that living in abundance. There is that living in joy, acceptance.
The last thing, I make these morning recordings, and I found this sheet I made a long time ago titled Things That Actually Support Scott. And one of them that I haven't been doing until I found the sheet was to ask, how are you now? What's happening now? And that, just what you were saying, it just brings you back to what's my actual experience now? Different reality than the one I'm locked in living in.
Yeah, it's so different.
Yeah.
To just check into now instead of being in later and
Or being told.
Being told what's really what's happening, which is not what is happening. Thank you.
It's just so miraculous almost that when I come to group that I'm hearing my experience. And, you know, I had a particular area of content that I transcended that was really the reason that brought me to the monastery. And that was just a few days ago. And, you know, after I had that experience, there was happiness and gratitude. I experienced that. And then there was this unexpected experience that life provided. And it was, I really don't even know what words to put or feelings to attach to that experience. But it was, what it looked like is needing to go to bed. And sleep, and the next day, the same kind of experience, you know, I woke up and I did my practice and my chores for the day, and then I needed to rest all day, and it was really interesting to watch the process. It was like, conditioning wanted to explain what was happening. You're feeling sadness. You're feeling not good enough. You're feeling, you know, but my heart and my body just wanted unconditional love for this person, you know, just without explaining it, without trying to attach a story to what was happening to this body, you know. Even saying to me, the conditioning was saying to me that you're suffering right now. You know, but in my heart, I knew that I was just tending to this person. So then, today, driving.
So you had this, it sounds like a big experience of transcending something that had been in your life for a while. In fact, it was the thing that brought you to practice. And then following that experience, that just was, you noticed a deep need to rest, the body and the heart, and you have enough practice under your belt that you were able to pay attention and see that conditioned mind was slipping in there and wanting to attach a story to that need to rest and, you know, giving you all kinds of explanations for what that was and was trying to convince you that you were suffering.
And so on my drive here this morning, I was listening to an open air conversation from a few weeks ago, and there was discussion around, you know, I don't get to choose when I transcend something first, you know, because this had taken me 8.5 years to transcend. And so there was a whole other story for a lot of years around why is this taking you so long? And then that there doesn't need to be standards around that, about how that experience is going to unfold. And, you know, that's just so true, that conditioning was wanting to attach standards to my transcending that or that particular karma or suffering. And, then today, you know, just hearing that I just need to experience what I'm experiencing, you know, and not have a story around it. And today, I feel happiness and gratitude. Had I not gone through what I needed to do yesterday in terms of just relaxing with this human, would I be here today full of joy and gratitude and happiness?
You know, it's just arising is a lot, and what you're saying is a lot of what was just spoken about earlier, just about relaxing into the body and being with the body and the body sensations rather than the story. And so you're just finding that, and in doing that, which you did, you followed the promptings of the body and the heart and relaxed. And then today, you know, you're noticing that the gratitude and happiness, and it's just present. And also just the experience or the dedication to dropping the standards the conditioning might want to put on a life about, you know, when you should transcend something, how you should transcend it, by what date, and, you know, and to just, you know, letting that go.
And the other thing I noticed looking back on yesterday, too, is that I didn't reach out to anybody. That I did, because in the past my tendency would have been to call a friend, you know, and to kind of share what my experience was and try to make sense of what was going on. And I didn't. I was just with this person. And, you know, there were other little things happening, but just the fact that I didn't feel the need to have to enter into a story with another human about trying to figure out what was happening and why it was happening. And that can be a lonely place at times. And there was a little bit, it's hard to know if it was conditioning or what was happening, but it was like, this is a lonely practice, you know, that the world isn't going to understand this practice that I do. And there might be a select few people in your life who will ever really be able to share in that way with you. And I don't know if that was conditioning story or if that is kind of a reality of doing this practice. And
well, I'm reminded of one thing. I know Sherry has said, if there's something that goes on for more than two sentences, we can be sure that that it's, you know, conditioning and not life dropping in inside. And
Also, it just sounds like in the, what you were pointing to at the beginning, and not going to a friend, by the way, is kind of the essential elements of the privileged environment, you know, mm-hmm. to just stay with your heart
mm-hmm.
in that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the same way of honoring the rest and not the story,
mm-hmm.
you know, to just, and then it's, what I hear you saying is it sounds like them conditioning on to slip in there with a whole lot of stories about, well, this is really lonely,
mm-hmm.
this is a lonely practice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it wants to put that explanation on top mm-hmm. of that heart desire to just stay and hold that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know at what, there's also can be an experience of dissipating energy sometimes when we talk and talk and talk and talk. And maybe the heart is just trying to hold
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you saw a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole experience.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful to be here today, and mm-hmm. I've never had the experience of meditating in a meditation hut, so that's special for me.
Wow.
The deep gassho for the sangha and for this practice and guide. And
yeah, and deep gassho for everyone that shows up, you know, and because as you're experiencing this morning, it's always, we always hear the right thing for the
mm-hmm.
place that we're in, the time that we're in. Rebecca.
Well, that part of the conversation, especially around the loneliness,
mm-hmm.
was touching on something that I've been looking at too,
mm-hmm.
that I'd love to explore more. So recently I heard a speaker who used the phrase that this is a solo journey.
Yes.
And so there are lots of little strands. Let me kind of put them out there, and we'll see how they, if they all weave together in any way. But so there's been a, for me, a gradual stepping into a realization of what I'm here to do. And I don't mean here at the monastery. I mean here on the planet. You know,
in this form and body.
Yeah.
To do.
Which is to wake up an ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's taken whatever it's taken to where that's dawning and is dawned on me. That's really, well, I think it's Mark Twain's quote captures it, that there are two most important days in your life, the day you're born and the day you learn why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The day you're born and the day you learn why.
Yeah, and so there's that, okay, that's it. That's the primary thing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not unclear about that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with that comes a sense of being so devoted, committed, all about that, that can tip over into feeling a little lonely, because not everybody is all about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it would be like if I were, you know, training for the Olympics in a sport, mm-hmm. and you know, like gymnastics was my whole world.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the gold, you know. Mm-hmm. If somebody wasn't interested in gymnastics, we wouldn't have a whole lot to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I'm looking at is there are all these relationships in my life that I have carried with me or brought and formed over these last 50 years, and They're not all about that which I am all about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes an interesting shift or transition to see, without self-hate, I wonder what those relationships are going to be now.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
If anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so just noticing, being really clear.
Mm-hmm.
With what your life, would you say your life's journey is,
mm-hmm.
is to end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And noticing and looking at, you know, that kind of, as was spoken about earlier, that where you connect or do you connect or, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just not that not something that most people have in their awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Although, as you're speaking, you know, just realize, you know, we're all on that journey.
Exactly.
And, but, you know, there's just
more or less awareness of it.
With more or less awareness
mm-hmm.
of it. And
mm-hmm.
so just looking at, you know, how, yeah, I forget the words you said.
No, I wonder what it's gonna, those relationships are going to be like now.
I wonder what those relationships are going to be like now,
yeah,
with the transformation of the human that's engaged. You know, I just wonder what those relationships are going to be like now.
Yeah,
kind of interesting.
If it doesn't go off into self-hate, because it can, you know, it can tip over into real fear, loneliness, despair, that kind of thing, mm-hmm, if I engage in the stories for even a moment. For even a moment.
Because
then I can start feeling the body sensations, everything react, and then it's like, oop, don't want to go there. Get dropped. Because that is a dark place.
Yeah, I think we were speaking about last night, knowing those places that are hooks.
Yep.
And being absolutely
putting them on the wall.
Absolutely clear about that. And it sounds like you are, and like, whoa, no, I'm not going there. I can see where that's headed.
Oh, yeah, it's such a dark place. And there's something. Oh, the when it's kind of that you said mentioned interesting and can be exciting. You know, there's something the guide I've heard her say, and this is my paraphrasing of it, of course, that something like she doesn't have conditioned relationships, or is it, you know, something like that. So what it's felt like is the transition that's happening in me. I hope, or I think, is that I've had just exclusively conditioned relationships,
right?
As we all do.
Yeah.
And as the unwillingness to be willing for that anymore comes up, or the, you know, it is, how to say, on one level, there's this utter trust that Ram Dass captured with this quote, that quote of, I love you as much as I have ever loved anyone, and I don't care if I ever see you again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that level of, there's nothing that can touch, tarnish, or taint the love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, what that looks like in physical form is maybe vastly different than what any of us in my relationships have ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And that is interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah. What it might look like to have completely unconditional relationships.
Yeah.
What it might look like to be in unconditional love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Even when they don't know it.
Even when they don't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a strong karmic pull. I couldn't say strong, loud, or big enough to get how strong that karmic pull is. To make sure everybody comes along with me. I can't go without everybody with me.
Yeah. So I have to ask.
Uh-huh.
Are you hearing a conversation that if you go to an unconditional relationship with these folks, they're going to leave?
Am I going to a conversation?
Yeah, I just wonder what's, you know.
Well, actually, I've had that experience.
So you've had that experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not just sort of drifting is more than leaving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, leaving and drifting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just getting the communications falling off, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it's that can feel like loneliness, like watching. So maybe that is in the conversation. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a conversation or, you know, what, someone of an interpretation or whatever, but it does feel like there's a falling away that has happened.
So there's been a past experience when the relationships have turned to more unconditional love. There's been a drifting or a falling away.
Mm-hmm. Feels like that. But that's a really good place to explore about whether that's what's interpreting it in that way.
As we've been looking at the privileged environment this morning, and as we, I mean, my experience, and I'm sure everybody here, is that we certainly have those kind of unconditional, or practice that unconditional love here,
mm-hmm.
and that our, and my experience is an intimacy that I don't have in many of the conditional type of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So it just is an interesting place to
mm-hmm.
explore.
Yeah, I suppose dropping in is in a non-separate reality. What would drifting away even mean?
Yeah.
Where would people go? You know?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. It's like, where do you go? And then you're not a separate reality.
Yeah. Maybe if we're lucky, ego drifts away. But
yeah.
Where are they? What is that? What is that that we call drifting away?
Uh-huh.
What is it that we call losing?
Uh huh. Yep. That's a really helpful distinction to see.
Well, I would like to report that I did recording and listening.
You did recording and listening.
Yeah, and so I saw myself get identified and then take action from the identified place and then seemingly try to, like, sort of manage it and then... Or, like, know that I was doing it, but then have, like, an outburst that I think was really related to not taking in all of that, or not, like, fully being with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really
mm-hmm.
recording and listening right there.
You recorded and listening? You recorded and listened at that point?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't.
Okay.
And then... there was other, like, there was this outburst and this upset, and I couldn't, and I think if I had recorded and listened, like, back when the original
uh-huh.
thing happened,
uh-huh.
I might have, like, taken care of that part
uh-huh.
of myself
uh-huh.
then.
Okay. You can
okay.
see, yeah.
Who
yeah.
knows for sure, but I think, I suspect.
Uh-huh.
And so then I did record and listen, and really out of, like, you know, this funny place that, well, I said I would do it, and there's really no reason not to, because
mm-hmm.
nothing is changing right here. You know, like, I'm stuck in this hard place, and I'm just avoiding
uh-huh.
this place. So let me just stop avoiding this place and see if I can really let this place talk.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so that is the impetus behind picking up the recorder.
Uncomfortableness,
uncomfortable.
Discomfort, unhappy,
getting to that place where,
like, I'm just avoiding.
Yeah.
I'm just avoiding. That's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
You know, what am I going to just avoid the rest of my life and feel?
Yeah.
Like, avoiding doesn't feel that good.
No, it doesn't feel that good. And so this decision was made to cease the avoiding and pick up the recorder.
Right.
Okay.
There, the decision was made.
Uh-huh.
Although there was a few more avoiding behaviors before it actually
yes.
occurred.
Yes.
And so there I recorded, and while I was recording, like, a much deeper layer of, like, sorrow and upset,
mm-hmm.
like, that was not available in this anger. It was all this anger,
uh-huh.
but, like, the deep, I don't even know what it is. Like, I haven't actually figured it, I don't know what it is. But, like, a much deeper place
mm-hmm.
of, it would appear like sadness because it's crying, but I don't know if sadness
uh-huh.
is the word.
So it was anger and yeah, the kind of, you were having an experience of anger and,
right, like, this circumstance happened, and I feel
yeah,
this, and
yeah.
I'm so angry.
Yeah, and avoidance, and then you decided, I'm going to pick up the recorder, and then in picking up the recorder, you discovered there was something else going on that hadn't been available to you prior to picking up the recorder, and that was grief, sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grief.
Yeah.
Grief. I think grief and sadness, and there's no, it's not... There, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, it makes sense, you know, but it doesn't, like, there's not, like, oh, yeah, it's this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the grief is this. Or, oh, yeah, sometimes it's
uh-huh.
not clear in that
uh-huh.
way. But it was so powerful to see like this much deeper place appear. I'm like, oh, no wonder there was all this avoidance to avoid this, which is funny because that's where we all want to be, right? In the real place. So then I listened. And and it just created, and then what I realized is that, like, there, and then I just waited to see what occurred. And what came is this voice that said, you know, I really don't know what this real sadness and upset is. I don't know, and but I can see that there's a part that really needs to be cared for.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that I would do my best to do that.
Wow. So just, you know, wow, just coming to this place of realizing it wasn't necessary to understand.
I would like to say that. Uh-huh. I wish that were the case. Uh-huh. Because there's this part of me that really wants to understand. So, like, if I could get to the core of what this is, then it would stop.
Right. Well, we can guess. Yeah.
Like, somehow there's like, oh, if I know. Like, if I know what.
Right. Yeah. But what Aurora, which was, is just the deep desire to take care of that human being.
Right.
Who was having that experience.
Right.
That was what was.
Right.
The bottom line.
Which is really just, I think, like, just an attention for the pain of and difficulty of this situation.
Yeah.
Just, like, giving acknowledgement and attention that this is really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And it's okay to have a really hard time.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your experience after that?
Oh, this is total softening and no more avoiding, just being. And although, really, a softening and a being, and
it sounds like a complete, is it 180, 360, from picking up the recorder in anger, and then, you know, being, journeying to a place of softness and acceptance, just through the willingness to pick that recorder up and begin to talk and begin to listen.
So it would be, I don't know, maybe the next time I see myself get identified or get really hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could record there before it's really a, before it becomes that this part, some part feels so hysterical. And there's no choice.
Seeing that it might be advantageous to record earlier. and possibly record on a regular basis even when there's not an issue.
You know, I haven't gotten there yet, but that is an interesting notion.
I'm just reminded of what I heard the guide say, is that we practice for the hard times.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We practice in the good times, so we have it for the hard times. Right, so I could try that with recording and listening.
Might be delightful to hear, but hear what's going on with this human being when she's having a great time, and just those listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and be there with her in that time as well as in the hard times. What would that be like?
What would that be like?
Yeah. That might be unconditional love, you know.
Yeah. What would that be like? Well, I will find out and report back.
Wow. That's great.
There's one other thing I'd like to talk about that I realized that I've been in an incredibly busy period. Like, there's just a lot. You know, I have all this stuff with my work, and it's full.
Mm-hmm.
And So life gets on, I mean, even though I do my practices, life gets this very, very scheduled, you know, from thing to thing. And I try and work on not over scheduling, but it still can get very much that way. And I got a lot happened last week, so actually there's less on my plate. So I still have all these things to focus on, but not in the same way, because some things really got completed.
Some things opened, space opened up for time.
Opened up. Mm-hmm. And I see there's like a momentum that occurs with that kind of like focus and schedule. And then even with the space, it's like how the momentum is going. And I, even though I can stop, it takes a while to stop the momentum. To go, it doesn't have to be that way. Because there's so much, as if the wheels of the train are still going, even though you're just sitting in the station.
That's really good to see. Yeah. It's like, It would seem that we're rushing or moving along at a great speed because there's so much to do. But then the doing, you know, there's not so much to do. And you see that that same kind of drive is still there. So,
Right, and I feel like my goal is really to, because I have times where I'm able to live in this space and do the things.
Yes.
And then other times where this momentum kicks in, and then the momentum has the life of its own.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's another really interesting exploration.
That might be a thing to record about and then listen.
Yes. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
Well, when that momentum kicks up. Yeah.
All right, well...
And I think especially that last part, the point that you just mentioned, that you've noticed those times when there can be a whole lot on your plate and you're experiencing the spaciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So just to remind yourself, that process of moving forward, like the train, I think it's the wheels moving, may not have so much to do with the content.
Right, I feel like there's really a lot of conditioning that kicks in when there would be the space that robs the space. I feel like that is like a it's like this vacuum just opens up and sucks it, and then I'm like, oh, I as if I like walked in front of near a vacuum and just got sucked in without seeing it. And then I come out, I'm like, wait, I didn't have to go in that vacuum.
Yeah. Or I didn't have to walk in front of that.
I didn't have to walk in front of that thing. Right. It feels like a very, I want to say loaded, but that's not it. There's just an area where there's really a lot of conditioning.
Yeah.
That would keep that momentum, even probably because life is actually so much better with this space.
Yeah. So it's a rich area for practice.
It is a rich area for practice.
Yeah. And, you know, just what we spoke about earlier, you know, just knowing those hooks, knowing those places, and it sounds like your work schedule, whatever that is one of those areas that you have to, that there's an opportunity to pay extra close attention, because there is higher chance of getting sucked in.
Yeah.
During that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
June. So I'm sitting here watching how I've watched this many times. Somebody wants me to reveal how bad I am. Just talk about the content of all the bad things that I did.
Okay. It wants to reinforce how bad you are by talking about all the content that would.
Yeah. Because if I talk about it, that makes it real.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm not going to do that. I did an Enneagram workshop 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's Enneagram and the Inner Critic.
Wow.
And it was really interesting, of course. And one of the things I was reminded of for this Enneatype 9 karma is that it is in what's called the withdrawn triad, the 9, the 4, and the 5 are the withdrawn types. Mm-hmm. And I heard that many times, and this time it kind of landed. Mm-hmm. It really landed what that means for me, how withdrawn happens, mm-hmm. and the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched it. I also went back to Georgia for a couple of weeks and was with family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just constant. It was just constant that the very reasons I went back there, when the time would come to move into being with family and interacting, it's just somebody just putting on brakes.
Wow.
Not wanting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's don't do that. I know that's why I came on, but you know, let's just
wow.
And it's possible. So just being able to see that,
yeah.
just seeing it through, oh, that's what that means. That's what being a withdrawn type means. Or that's how it manifests.
Yeah.
Was really freeing.
Yeah, it's really freeing because you can see, I mean, it's because that it's not personal.
Yeah,
it's not personal. That's, you know?
Yeah, it's not personal.
Yeah.
And of course, in the past, I go back to Georgia to be with family and the same thing happens. And I haven't known, I just do it anyway. I haven't seen, oh, that's the 9 karma. Not in ritual karma. So it just takes the interactions a lot.
Because it sounds like when you say that, there's the Enneatype tendency is to withdraw, and then there's some, we could say, condition, right? Like, well, we're going to do it anyway.
Well, that's like, why I'm here. You know, and maybe they're coming over to the house, so I can't get away. I can't get away, Laura. It's just all so planned, and it's all, you know, lunch is all around the fact that I'm there. So, but I go in with the wall.
Yeah, exactly. It's like go in with the brakes on,
yeah.
and never get what actually the heart just pulls you to could go and connect with folks. And the whole time there's this, you know, just having none of it.
Yeah. So there's that. So there was having an interesting vacation, so to speak, which was more of a workshop, and watching what that means happen, or how that karmic pull manifests. And so I'm also seeing that, and the way it's occurring to me right now, there's no self-respect in withdrawing.
Mm. No self-respect.
And it makes me emotional. Oh, the very what going with the impulse to isolate, withdrawal, and flatline does, of course, is just put me squarely in the hands of somebody.
Yeah.
Squarely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isolate, withdraw, of course, but not isolate and withdraw from selfie. It's put you clearly in the...
And so I'm watching that cycle. I've been watching it all morning. What to do about that? How I need, what I need to do instead? Mm-hmm. What I do?
Mm-hmm.
How I need to be? And actions I need to take?
A plan
to fix this problem. The plan. It's not the first time.
This is probably a very similar process to fix it process. And this now is this particular content on the withdrawal.
So what occurs is taking refuge in Bodhidharma and Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
Just be in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Do that.
Can you say a little bit about what that looks like?
Well, one of the things it's saying that I should do is be around people more.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't say come to the monastery more. It doesn't say engage in practices more.
Mm-hmm.
It's be around other people more.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Then you're not withdrawn.
Right.
Then you can something, I don't know, it doesn't really explain itself. But I hear it and I go, oh yeah, that's a good idea.
That's probably to perpetuate that karma, put her in with people and constantly tell her how withdrawn she is.
You asked me how Buddha is taking refuge. I don't fully participate in the practice intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw myself, just get in, just get past the withdrawal,
mm-hmm.
get past something.
Mm-hmm.
Something, I don't know what that, I haven't really looked very hard to identify what that energy is that basically says no to group, the group, the Sangha, right, practices. But it's true. I don't partake.
Yeah. Would you say it's another form of withdrawal?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what I hear is it's arrogance.
Mm. You told it's arrogance.
Yeah. But I don't need to do that.
Uh-huh.
It's something really unhelpful. Really clear right in this moment. It's way wrong.
Yeah. Something to just feel more self-hate. So to be, to really participate in practice intensive. To be around Sangha.
Yeah.
And as maybe we've spoken about in the first, when we first came in, just speaking up in groups and participating.
Oh, the thing I'm looking at right in this moment is often talking in groups is about getting some distance on the turning.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the turning, watching the withdrawal karma, trying to take that process to see what they're trying to do. It's another kind of withdrawal from life. You know, talk about it, feel better, and relax. And I got you again. I'll get your mind again. Does that make sense?
Well, let me see if it does. So, so when you're talking in group, it's often talking about it's basically trying to fix something or talking about some content, and it's
It is often about trying to fix. You know, but it is also about just not having it be only in here.
Okay. It feels like you're not stuck with it, just walk around alone with it, but somehow you can just, like, put it out here.
And so what if it, if there's an element of trying to fix it in it? It's better to say
it. Just say it and get it out there.
Get it out.
Yeah.
Change the energy.
So there's
make it lighter.
Would you say there's like there's an immediate kind of relief with that, of getting it out there, and you feel a little lighter? And then you said,
but it experiences that relaxation. It's in control. Let's see, again, just the nine stuff about comfort. It's I've been really uncomfortable this morning. And that internal turning sense. So becoming more comfortable is a place that it, that comfort is a place that it will rush into take.
It's becoming more comfortable. I don't know if this keeps arriving. Like, sort of like eating a bag of potato chips or something, you know. It's like, oh wow, I feel better for, you know, the moment. But the fact is, it's not leading to a change in behavior, or it's not leading to a participation with life. It's just this momentary release. Is that what you
were saying? Yes. That can be what happened. You know, we had a monk here one time who finally made it into one of the books. And it's very, very simple. She said, ego will come through any door. And it is so true. So, you know, it's, I'll go get in the car. And everything that I've said and you've reflected will get folded in. It's possible. So.
And there's been a new awareness that can never be taken away, and that awareness of the, you know, that personality tendency to withdraw, and a deeper understanding of that. Keep watching.
Keep watching.
It's such a treat sitting here in the this garden space, and I always love the lines of the nails on the floor. I get so much joy out of the lines of the nails on the floor and the pattern of the floor. It feels very zen to me.
So for folks that are listening to this on a recording, we are sitting in an outdoor pavilion at the monastery that's quite beautiful, and just appreciating the beauty of both construction and the surroundings.
And we have a breeze today.
And we have a breeze. Which is something to be very, very grateful for. Thank you, Mom.